This is As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the show where we bring you the stories behind the stories that matter in your life. We'll tell you something maybe you didn't know, hear from the experts, the authors, the others, and hope we put a little smile on your face along the way. But in every case, we call it As We See It. On today's show, the car you wish you had when you were in high school turns 50 this week. Never mind the expensive medicines and items you need to survive the summer. There are basic household things in your home right now that can save your life. And some needy kids are about to get a wonderful surprise. We'll cue you in. Let's meet the friends. It's another fine day when Jennifer Bjorklund is in the room.
And Phil, we're going to talk about campaign mudslinging and lying. Is it a great American tradition or should it be a crime?
Ooh.
Ooh.
All right. Jake Capodonia just double-checked, and he's present.
What can you add to a gun range to make it more frightening?
We'll answer that in a bit. And appropriately coiffed, Chris Martin is here.
Is it a good idea to make sequels to really good classic movies?
No. Is that the right answer?
A lot of people would agree.
End of that conversation.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's not the right answer. We'll find out what movie you're talking about in a bit, Chris. Thanks. All right, Jen, let's get started here. Should we be able to sue politicians when they lie?
Well, the Supreme Court's deciding whether false accusations and mudslinging made during an election can be punished as a crime. Kind of hard to believe because it is kind of a great American tradition. The case is being heard next week. Groups across the political spectrum are criticizing the law as a restriction on the First Amendment right to free speech. And in an attempt at humor, satirist PJ O'Rourke and the libertarian Cato Institute filed a widely circulating brief ridiculing the law and defending political smear tactics as a cornerstone of American democracy. O'Rourke's brief celebrates a history of dubious campaign remarks like, remember President Richard Nixon? I am not a crook. President George H.W. Bush? Read my lips, no new taxes. And more recently, President Barack Obama's, if you like your health care plan, you can keep it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so
what? Who gets to take who to court over that?
Exactly. That's the question. I mean, how do you even enforce this type of
I don't know,
law?
But trial lawyers are licking their chops This all has to be litigated.
Yeah, there are 15 states that have similar laws on the books, but this one all started with an anti-abortion group wanting to run a billboard campaign claiming a candidate supported taxpayer-funded abortion because he supported President Obama's health care overhaul. By the way, I was reading this story more in depth, and the guy, when questioned about this, had to be reached by phone. He lives in Switzerland now.
Oh, really?
He didn't win the election. Yeah.
Wow. So now he's neutral.
Exactly. He's in Switzerland.
I think an election needs to be a little bit dirty. I think that's what an American election is. It's part of the process. I think a lot of people feel that way.
I think you're right, Jay. I think we expect that. If you don't have that element, you always hear about the politician who tries to, okay, I'm going to run a clean campaign.
Right.
I'm sure my opponent is flinging a lot of mud in my direction, but I'm not going to respond in kind. I'm just going to stay on point. And then by the end of the campaign, they're both slinging
mud. Oh, yeah, they're both.
Right.
You can't. And or it's some other group that funded by
slings
blah, blah,
it for
at
you
the bottom slings
yeah.
it for you yeah. You know, have someone else fight your battles,
and I approve this message.
Exactly.
This message.
Jen, sometimes the news just writes itself.
Oh yeah. Andre Johnson, a Wu-Tang affiliated rapper, was rushed to
the Wu-Tang Clan.
Yes. Rushed to Cedars-Sinai in the dark early hours of today after cutting off his penis.
Why?
And jumping off a second-story balcony in West Hollywood. We do not know why. Nobody knows why.
He survived the jump.
The penis hit the bricks. He hit the bricks. I mean, it all was on the sidewalk. They gathered him up. All parts.
Jay, you're going to be okay over there?
I wanted to read this story really quickly because it's so painful. But This poor guy, he's known actually now as Christ Bearer. He's a member of the rap group North Star, which was founded by members of the Wu-Tang Clan. And nobody knows why he did it. The witnesses say he was running around screaming incoherently after he jumped off. So
there are any number of other types of publicity stunts he could have gone for. This would not spring forth for me if I was looking through the handbook of publicity stunts.
Not
how
my
do
first
I become
choice.
More famous? Oh, I know.
Well, now he's going to be known as that guy. And
right.
That's not the guy that you know. Is that get you street cred these days?
You know that thing about there is no press such as bad press? know.
Maybe the amount of angel dust he did before the stunt will give him a little bit of
strength. Was that involved?
Well, no. You know, his band members say that they were not doing any hard drugs or anything that would lead to this.
Yeah,
so,
right.
Yeah, so, yeah. Well, okay, can we move on? I'm very uncomfortable with this story.
Me too. I'm uncomfortable perhaps in a different way. When it's amazing what Hollywood can do these days, Jen, with CGI.
Yeah, when they have to. This is a great story. Paul Walker's brothers are actually stepping in to help finish filming Fast and Furious 7. That was a film he was working on when he died in November. Universal Pictures said in a statement on the film's Facebook page that Caleb Walker and Cody Walker have been enlisted to complete their brothers' action scenes and fill in the small gaps left in production. And that having them on the set has made us feel that Paul is with us, too. That's what the statement said. So the movie, which is being directed by James Wan, also stars Vin Diesel and Tyrese Gibson, since has been adjusted to incorporate the footage that was shot with Walker and give his character some sort of send-off after all the movies.
Do his brothers look like him?
One of his brothers looks dead on like him, just exactly like him. Then there's a younger brother. I think the youngest brother doesn't really look like him at all. But, you know, I mean, maybe there's mannerisms and maybe they can CGI his face over that kid's face.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, they say it'll allow the character of Brian O'Connor to live on. Let us celebrate Paul Walker in his most defining role.
How about that?
Yeah.
Good. That is a good send off. All right. And one more. When does a good deed turn into a high-speed pursuit?
Oh, my favorite story of the day. This one makes you shake your head. So this lady stops by a gas station yesterday, accidentally leaves a $50 bill on the counter. The clerk notices it too late. She's already left the store, but a sheriff's deputy who was walking in said, oh, hey, I'll go after her and I'll give it back. So what should have been a simple good deed winds up becoming a high-speed pursuit. Okay, this happened in Florida, and the Orlando Sentinel is reporting the deputy caught up with the lady, put on his lights and sirens, and that's when the lady just sped off. The police set up a spike strip to stop her.
Oh, jeez.
Not because of the $50, but because the cop ran her tags, found out, oh, I see why she's running. She's driving on a suspended license. Okay. She had no tires on the right side. They were deflated. She still managed to speed away and lose them. It wasn't until she drove into a gated community, a police sergeant spotted her, successfully arrested her. So now, beyond leading police in a car chase and having a suspended license, she also had a little heroin and some hypodermic needles in her car, charged with all of that, all because she forgot $50 at a gas station.
Well, things happen for a reason, don't they?
It's true. It's true. Good deed.
All right. So, Jay, there's a shooting range that has a new definition of cocked and loaded, huh?
In Oklahoma City, the state-of-the-art gun range. It's got 24 lanes. It's got 10 archery lanes. It's got VIP lounge. It's got classrooms for training, all of this stuff. They want to become the first gun range in the country to add a bar.
Are you allowed in there before you shoot?
Here's the rule. They have to actually, like, apply, and the state has to grant them access to all of these, you know, rules and regulations and whatever. The deal is, and the guys who run the shop say, or run the range, they say that you're going to be able to shoot first and drink later. I don't know how they're going to enforce this, but a bunch of drunk people.
Well, they have a bunch of guns.
Well, yeah.
That's one way to enforce
it,
I guess.
Way.
But, I mean, you know, you go in, have a few cocktails, you walk outside, you walk right back in, and, you know, now you're a new customer. Here's kind of the kicker. Gun ranges in California and Texas have already been granted the right to serve alcohol on the premises.
Really?
Just haven't done it. Oklahoma wants to beat them to the punch.
So it's a matter of who has more sense than the other.
I'm totally in agreement with that. I go to the gun range. I am a gun owner. I enjoy going to the gun range. Booze and guns do not mix ever. Ever.
It just sounds like it's not a good idea.
Yeah.
Maybe they stamp their hands or something. Like the minute you go to the bar, they say, okay, we'll give you a drink, but we're going to stamp your hands so you can't shoot anymore.
Maybe.
So
like
after you're done shooting, you can go have a drink and then drive home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just don't want going all Yosemite Sam in the gun range after a few beers. That's the thing.
But that's nice a problem, reference. Though. A lot of these gun ranges, especially like the one up in, you know, in the northern part of the valley.
There's a couple.
Well, there are a few, yeah. They're sort of remote down windy roads, you know, the outdoor ones.
Right.
So you don't want to be driving home after you've had a few.
Well, and now there's a gun range down here in, I think it's Harbor City, that's in the middle of a residential neighborhood. I mean,
really?
They're everywhere. They're indoor gun ranges. They're everywhere. So the idea of serving booze at a gun range is probably
if you have
not
a little
high
too much and you're over the .08 and you've got guns and ammo in your car
right.
while you're driving home. Maybe you didn't have the sense to stick it in the trunk because you had a couple of extra drinks.
Oh, yeah.
This could only end.
Good job, Oklahoma.
Could
Way
only
to go.
End badly. Up next, some needy kids in Orange County are about to get a wonderful surprise courtesy of some people with huge hearts, and you'll hear from one of them right here on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends on KFWB News Talk 980.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit PortsacallDining.com or call 310-833-3553. Thanks for tuning in to KFWB. This is As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Phil. Jennifer's here. Jay is here. Chris is here. And some unsuspecting kids from the Boys and Girls Club of Garden Grove are minutes away from getting a big surprise. It's a good surprise. And joining us live is Lori Weathers of the Select Family of Staffing Company. She's part of a team of volunteers making this a very special day. Lori, thanks a lot for spending a little time with us here. Before you tell us about this surprise, tell us who all is involved with this.
Great. Well, thanks for having me. As you mentioned, I'm from the Select Family of Staffing Companies. We are better known in the markets by Select Staffing and Remax Specialty Staffing. And our managers are meeting at the Hyatt in Huntington Beach this week and joining with Odyssey and the Boys and Girls Club, as you mentioned, to build bicycles for some kids that don't know that they're about to receive them.
Ooh.
And as a matter of fact, our managers aren't aware that they are building bicycles for these kids either. So it's going to be a really nice surprise on both ends.
Wow.
Now, what do you mean building? So these are prefab like every other bike, right? They came in the box. You just have to put them together. Assembly required, right?
Some assembly required, sure. We're going to do it in a matter of about an hour and a half in teams within our company. It's a team building exercise for us, but it allows us to give back to the community at the same time.
Tell us about these kids a little bit. Where are they from? What kind of a background? And how do they qualify?
Well, they are members of the Boys and Girls Clubs within the Garden Grove community. And those are usually underprivileged kids that wouldn't necessarily have the resources for these bikes or other fun things like that on their own. So they're always on the lookout for companies like ours to help them out. And we're thrilled to be able to do so.
Hey, Lori, do the bikes have, like, the tassels on the handlebars and the little noisemakers on the spokes? I mean, I remember as a kid, like a lot of us do, that those were – that's what made your ride when you were a kid.
Or the basket in the front.
There you go.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to have all different kinds of bikes, some for younger kids and some for older kids. So, yes, you'll see all manner of those things.
Now, who were the bikes donated, and if so, by whom?
The Select Family of Staffing Companies is contributing the bikes.
All right, that's good. So this is going to be a wonderful moment. Now, it's all happening this afternoon. Is this something that you're going to document? Is it okay to videotape this and post it later so people can watch it? Because I imagine it's going to be an inspiring moment. We always want to inspire this kind of thing to be replicated in other cities.
Absolutely. And Odyssey is the company that coordinate all of it. And they do this for many companies around the country. So they are capable of doing the coordination. We will have someone there that will be taking photos and videos so that absolutely we want to be able to remember this moment for many years.
Now, where can we see that later? Because I'd love to see it.
We will post them to select.com probably in about a week or so.
Okay.
So how good of friends are all of you guys at Select Family of Staffing? Are you, I mean, this is a team building exercise, but this can't be easy with the, no, that's my Allen wrench. And, you know, I mean, I've been reduced to tears trying to put some of this kind of stuff together. Right? I mean, this is great team building. How well do y'all get along?
Well, I think we'll know in a couple of hours.
Yeah, right.
That's no, great. We're all working for the same cause, and our company mission is to help grown-ups achieve their goals, you know, when they're looking for a new job or just anything to get a paycheck so that they can get by on up to, you know, changing their careers. So, you know, we're used to kind of making people's dreams come true at a grown-up level, and I think we're going to be very motivated to work together to do that with our...
Oh, great. And you guys are all volunteering your time. And so explain the ruse again for us. Now, the kids, do they think they're on a field trip to the beach? Or what exactly is happening?
You know, I'm not exactly sure what they have been told. And I know our managers haven't been told anything other than they have a team building exercise. So I can imagine some of our managers are rolling their eyes right now thinking that we're going to be falling backwards into each other's arms or something cheesy like that.
Oh, that's
trust
this is great. So it's just, unless they're listening to the radio, it's a surprise on both sides.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, oops.
It's a lot of fun to see everyone's face once the big reveal happens.
I didn't think about that. I hope none of them are listening. All right.
No, they're busy. They're already started.
Oh, good.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
All right. Well, very good. Well, thank you very much for telling us about this. It's inspiring, and I can't wait in a week or so to see the wide eyes and the amazed looks, the surprised looks on the kids.
Great.
And probably on the adults who did this, too. It's just going to be great pictures all
around.
I want
pictures of the – wait, I got to put what together now?
Yeah, right?
and good luck putting those bikes together. I mean, this is harder than IKEA, really, so I hope you can pull it off.
Well, thanks very much. We really appreciate it.
Okay, there she goes. Thanks. Isn't that cool?
You guys remember the first bike that
got?
I remember it like it was yesterday. Yeah.
I remember the first bike I took apart and then couldn't put back together.
Yeah. You know, my dad did that too. That bike is still hanging on the wall of his house when his family moved out in the garage in pieces.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Now, the first bike was your first taste of freedom.
Yeah.
It was like, I am the coolest kid on the planet when you're that age.
Mine had a green, glittery banana seat.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that was like in the 1930s, right?
Right. What? Way back when.
They didn't have banana seats in the 1930s.
Not in the 30s. Okay. They had those metal little molded things.
With the holes in them.
Exactly.
For aerodynamics, I guess.
All right.
Hey, this is something cool. I want you to know that coming up tomorrow, it's the KFWB Clippers Slam Dunk Fan Experience Contest.
Say what now?
The KFWB Clippers Slam Dunk Fan Experience Contest. So here's what you have to do. You listen to KFWB all day tomorrow, and Friday for that matter, and you listen for the cue to call in and win an amazing Clippers playoff experience. See, the playoffs start on Saturday for the Clippers.
Yeah.
They're going to have two home games, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're giving away a couple of these experiences for each home game in the postseason with the Clippers.
Dang.
Now, you keep listening to KFWB. We will give you more information about the prizes and all of that. But you want to make sure to listen for your cue to call. But if you want to increase your chances of winning, visit KFWB.com and either log in or register at the KFWB VIP page. And you will then see a list of 15-minute windows when the contest is actually going to happen. So you increase your chances there. So you don't have to wait all day, right? So you'll be ready. You'll have that advantage over your competition because the phones are going to go nuts for this. Again, this begins tomorrow. Keep listening to KFWB for more details about the prizes. I'm excited because we're going to give one of these away.
Yay.
Isn't that good?
Are we part of the package? They get to meet us?
I don't know.
Asking if you get to go?
I'm going to
listen. That's all you want to know. You want to know if I get to, do I get to go?
Let's listen to the promos throughout the day, see if they mention perhaps that we're part of the package.
I was thinking you had to slam dunk a ball in order to win, in which case I figured I'd be a lock, you know?
Oh, yeah, of course. Wow.
You still have above the rim skills, Chris?
Yeah, as long as I've got a trampoline in front of it.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Hey, Chris, earlier you mentioned something about a sequel to a classic movie, and I'm not a fan of that. I think if you nail it with the first movie, leave it there, right? But they're going to test fate in Hollywood with which movie?
They're going to test fate in Hollywood with Top Gun.
Yes!
Mm-hmm.
Uh-uh. Yes!
Nope.
No.
No.
It's perfect.
That movie is awesome. Right. I imagine two movies that are awesome.
Yeah, it is. It's an epic movie, and nearly 30 years after the original releasing, we're going to get a sequel to it. It will have Tom Cruise and drones.
Look at that.
Really?
Drones?
Yep. Jerry Bruckheimer's in the seat to produce it.
Wait a minute. Is Tom Cruise in a park in a like a sweater flying a drone around and saying, "We're back in the day." I mean, how are they going to come on? Really?
Not exactly. Yeah. I think they're actually fighting drones, or drones are going to be a part of the technology. Here's what Jerry Bruckheimer had to say. He said, "Technology's changed a lot since the first film, so we're going to take advantage of what the world is like today." You know, with drones taking over in a lot of our wars. So there's going to be drones involved, but he also affirmed to us that the jet jockeys will not be obsolete in the film, which I would imagine is where Tom comes in.
Are they stealth fighters, maybe?
Hopefully, yeah, the newer versions of them.
It's going to be awesome either way. And I'll tell you what, Kenny Loggins does the soundtrack again, it's just going to be over the top.
It's not going to happen.
Kenny Loggins will make that movie happen, guaranteed.
Hey, real quick, too, if you thought the story couldn't get any better... Jerry Bruckheimer is also going to be making a sequel to Beverly Hills Cop with the one and only Eddie Murphy.
Oh, no.
Another sequel?
Come on.
What is it, Beverly Hills
like
Cop
that?
4?
That's the fourth one.
No.
Yeah.
But, see, that I disagree with.
Yeah.
But a new realized Eddie Murphy, a different Eddie Murphy.
Top Gun, yes. Beverly Hills, no.
Come on. If 3 are good, 4 is better, right?
Say that to Rocky Balboa.
Okay.
See the things that we care about, that we argue about in life? The things that really matter? Hey, this week, an American car that embodies muscle and style turns 50 years old. You'll hear from one of the guys in charge of the manufacture of this storied vehicle next on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends right here on KFWB News Talk 980. Oh, we're having fun now here on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends on KFWB News Talk 980. I have with me today something that I cherish from my boyhood. It's a Hot Wheel. You remember Hot Wheels? I have a 1969 Hot Wheels that you had to be in the Hot Wheels fan club to get. It's called the Boss Hoss, and it's all metal, and it's got the red line wheels on it. And it's just a beautiful car. It's silver. It's shiny. And this week, the real Mustang turns 50. And there's some pretty impressive events happening to celebrate all of this. And we want to talk about the Mustang. And we have a guest. We're setting him up on the line right now. We had him a moment ago, and he just dropped off. A lot happening. It's the New York Auto Show this week. All the manufacturers are bringing out their cars, and the 2015 Mustang is one of the highlighted vehicles. I want to bring on our first guest now, our next guest, that is, Jim Owens. What a gig he has. He's the Mustang Manufacturing Executive Manager over at Ford. Am I right, Jim? You have about as good a gig as you could get at Ford, right?
You know what? It is really, truly enjoyable to wake up every morning and love your job.
Oh, I love that. And so I was just talking about, I don't know if you were on the line or not, but I have this 1969 Boss Hoss. It's the Hot Wheels, which is essentially the Boss 302. They might have souped this up a little to maybe a 502. Who knows? But just the same, this car, the Mustang, means different things to different people. So why don't we do this? You're passionate about your job. Let's start with your first Mustang memory.
Okay. I've got basically three. But the first one that is my absolute favorite is when I was really young, probably 7, because I'll turn 50 this year just like the Mustang.
Perfect. Look at that.
The lady who used to watch us after school had a 289 coupe. And I got sick at school, and my mom was working, and she had to pick me up, and she took me out just on a drive, and it was west of the city of Chicago, and so we went through like Morton Arboretum, and we just drove in that Mustang. And so it's not a performance story, but it is a unique story to me that I will always remember for Mustang.
That's awesome.
Did she have the plaid treatment in the trunk
yeah,
and the spare tire?
It was.
Oh.
I mean, and that's what's so cool about Mustang is it's unique to every customer. And everybody has their Mustang story.
Yeah.
You know, whether you're 4 or you're 104. You know, one of my favorites is a guy in Toronto at 104 years old bought his first new car.
Oh.
And it was a screaming yellow 2005, you know, the S197 platform or Gen 5. So he could come down to Woodward.
Wow.
It was anyway.
And they let him drive that.
Yeah, right.
How did he do?
He did great. And the Yellow Mustang Registry, which is literally a Mustang club, that's the name of them. They only let yellow Mustangs in. I drove up as the Mustang brand manager at the time in a red one, and they wouldn't let me in.
Oh, they said, get lost.
Yeah. I'm like, and, you know, that's my favorite don't you know who I am story.
Oh, that's so great.
But it's
a 102-year-old guy probably went from a yellow tractor right into that yellow Mustang, huh? So
but
50.
Everybody has them. It's fun.
It's beautiful. I love this. And I hear the enthusiasm in your voice. 50 years ago, Ford pulled off a pretty cool stunt with the Mustang. Tell us about that and tell us what you're going to try to replicate this year.
Well, actually, and we did it when we launched the 66 Mustang. So this was actually end of 64 calendar year.
Okay. So.
We actually took apart, and we have pictures of it, and it's great. You know, the old engineers in the lab coats, they're in the base of the Empire State Building, and they can't get the car all the way up to the observation deck, so they had to take the car apart. And put it into the service elevator, take it up to the 86th floor, and rebuild it.
Wow.
We did the same thing today.
You did today?
We did that today.
It's a yellow Mustang up there, isn't it?
No, it's not the yellow one.
It's not the yellow one?
15. No, I think it's a silver or white one because I'm down in Charlotte. But so they're doing it today. And, you know, all of us are kind of geeky about this, right, who work on this. So everybody's taking pictures of it. And, you know, minus the lab coats and the cigarettes, because you remember that was back in the 60s.
Yeah.
The way back in the
pictures are just the same. It's hilarious.
That's amazing.
Wait, obviously, Ford is posting pictures of this today. Is it at Ford.com or is it a special website?
Yeah, I think
website?
It's at the media
at
site, and then it'll probably be on Mustang Facebook, the Facebook page. But
all right, we're going to find all of that and share it on our Facebook page as well.
That is great.
Because that's exciting. Obviously you had to take apart the vehicle today to get it up to
correct.
The observation.
Yeah, because it's actually mm-hmm. bigger and longer than it was in the 60s.
And there are more parts.
That bill of material. And so it is, I don't know how they did it because I'm the marketing guy, but thank God it wasn't me who had to put the thing back together.
Whoa.
I know. How long did it take those guys to do that?
They did. They started early, what they said. So today is Wednesday. So they started early this morning. And I mean, they had to clear off the snow. I mean, New York had a snowstorm and, you know, it's April. We shouldn't be having those things. But, you know, so they had a lot of stuff to do. But the people coming around and looking at it and taking pictures, it was kind of like what Mustang is.
Oh.
It wasn't about the car. It was a cultural moment.
Right. Oh. And there, I'm showing Phil one of the pictures of the guys standing in the elevator with like a big chunk of car.
It's
ready
like
to
the
go
back
up.
Quarter panel.
Yeah, yeah.
That's,
that's beautiful. All right, so we want to find out what it means to build American metal these days. What's new about the latest model? We're talking about the 2015 Mustang, right?
2015. We unveiled today at the New York International Auto Show, and we are also going to publicly unveil it at Charlotte Motor Speedway tomorrow and Las Vegas tomorrow. We're going to have it in two locations on the same day. The 2015 limited edition.
Will these be pace cars tomorrow? Is that why they're at Speedway?
No, not the pace car program. But that's actually a good record. Somebody knows a lot about Mustang. No, it's not the pace car program. But so here's the argument, right? You sit around with beers with, you know, the 30,000 of my closest Mustang friends who are here in Charlotte. And everybody will argue, is it a 64 and a half or is it a 65?
Uh-huh.
Right. And, you know, Ford can't even think of it correctly. We go back into the corporate archives. We have a corporate archivist who's just absolutely phenomenal. And he has paperwork that says both. The federal government, though, for the title, titled them 1965.
Oh.
So we launched one today that we will build only 1964 of them.
Oh.
To commemorate the year.
A unique body code and a unique serial number so that, you know, I can't retire until probably 2029, so I'll be around for the 75th. But,
right?
You know, we can't – when those folks are arguing over the time, there will be something there that speaks to that. And, again, this is people – literally, there are going to be 30,000 to 50,000 people down here at Charlotte tomorrow. with 10,000 Mustangs from 16 countries and four continents.
You know, I read somewhere that you guys are making the 2015, not the limited edition, but the Ford 2015 Mustang available overseas. Did I read that correctly? And this is the first time?
Yes, you did. You know, I mean, consumers have chosen to take it upon themselves to take vehicles that were purchased in the United States or in Canada and bring them to other countries for years. There is a Mustang Club of England. There is a Mustang Club of Germany. There is a Mustang Club of Poland. There's a Mustang Club of France. In the Mustang Club of France, they have a monthly magazine. And one of the sections is the wedding photos in your Mustang.
Oh, how cool is that? That's
this
fun.
This is in France. Wow. I mean, so it's you know, a lot of people. I mean, this.
Well, I'm on the Mustang Facebook page right now, and I'll tell you, there's nothing French about this Mustang. It's got a, it's got an evil grin, and it's got the eyes that'll just pierce right through you. There's got to be LEDs on the on the inside of that light, and it's just what's under the hood? What kind of muscle are we talking about?
Well, we have three engines coming out this year, and in the base Mustang GT lineup, or in the Mustang lineup. So we have our base V6, we have an EcoBoost four-cylinder, and then we have, of course, the 5-liter, the 302, you know, for the hardcore Mustang geeks like me who will only order a V8 with a manual and a 373 gear.
Attaboy.
Right? So we do have three engine choices, and that EcoBoost engine, you've seen some of the stuff that we've done, it's technology of between power and fuel economy. And it's such a great message for Mustang. I mean, we had four-cylinder cars, if you remember the old SVO Mustangs. You know, that was one of my first Mustang actually on a track at Martinsville. I was calling on a dealer across the street from Martinsville Speedway, the NASCAR track, and the guy goes, "Hey, look, Jimmy, they don't like you for two reasons. One I can fix and one I can't." And I'm like, "Okay, I'll bite. What is it?" He goes, "First, you're a Yankee." I'm like, "Okay, yeah, I'm not going to be able to fix that."
Yeah.
He goes, "Second, you don't know a lick about racing." And he took me out across the street, and I proceeded to do 50 hot laps on Martinsville Speedway in an SVO Mustang.
Wow.
I am very jealous of you, sir.
Me too.
I've had some fun. And, you know, I've worked for Ford for, I don't know, 26 years. And I worked for Ford. I worked for Carroll Shelby directly.
No kidding.
Wow.
Yeah,
I had a chance to meet him when I was a little kid.
He was such a wonderful human being, and I'll tell you, he knew not only the Ford family and Mark Fields and Jim Farley and, you know, all the executives, but the people he'd call on a daily basis were the sign-off engineers for the cars that bore his name.
Yeah.
And he'd wake up at 4:30, you know, Pacific time, and he'd call in at 7:30 East Coast time to Gene and say, "Gene, you know what? I was thinking last night, here's what you need to do with this suspension piece."
Oh, wow.
At 88 years old.
Yeah, that's something.
Well, fun stories.
Jim Owens, you've got probably 100 more. I could talk to you all day because I love talking cars. But and I don't know if you're always this enthusiastic or if it has something to do with the fact that you've been sitting around with all those Mustang fans in Charlotte drinking beers. But just the same, good luck with the launch of the 2015 Mustang. We'll look for them on the street, and we'll try to keep track of what goes on with those limited edition.
Absolutely.
The 1964s.
And there will be more obviously to come from Mustang in the future.
And we just shared a photo of the Mustang on the observation deck at the Empire State Building from the Ford Facebook page. It's also on our Facebook page.
Thank you.
And very good, Jim Owens with Ford. How about that for a gig? Huh? Thanks, sir. Is that something?
Yeah.
Talking cars.
Like, I'm a bow tie boy.
Yeah.
I'm a total Chevy guy, like a lot of guys are, but the Mustang is that one Ford that I wouldn't mind owning.
All right, so here's the thing. Little appointment listening. Tomorrow, we're going to give it equal time because of the New York Auto Show. Is Jim off the phone yet? Jim's gone? He can't hear this? Okay,
yeah.
He's in Charlotte after all. Tomorrow.
Drinking beers.
He's not listening, right? Because we are going to have
somebody from the Corvette people at Chevy.
That's what I'm talking about.
Me too.
All right.
That's my favorite car.
So big Corvette talk tomorrow at about this time. But next up here on the program, we are going to tell you how to stay healthy and safe with the items you have in your home right now when the survival doctor joins us live on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends here on KFWB News Talk 980.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. Thanks for tuning in to KFWB News Talk 980. This is As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. Jennifer Bjorklund is here. Jay and Chris are here as well. And spring is here. We're all getting outside more. And while we're having all that fun outside, we're getting scraped up, bitten up by bugs, getting rashes and hay fever. Do you need expensive ointments and preparations from the pharmacy? No! You don't, apparently. Joining us live is Dr. James Hubbard. He is one of the nation's top survival medicine experts. His website, thesurvivaldoctor.com, is a place where he writes about how to deal with medical problems in a disaster or wherever expert help is impossible to get. His latest book is called Living Ready Pocket Manual First Aid, and he's on with us right now. Hello, doctor.
Hi.
So we're going to get messed up pretty good here in the spring as we get outside. And apparently we have all the home remedies we need. We just need to know how to mix them up and use them right. So what's your favorite home remedy?
My favorite home remedy is honey. And the reason for that is I don't know that you'll have everything that you need and all that. And hopefully you'll be safe. But just in case, I'd keep a little raw honey on hand. It's not only is it good to eat, but it has a lot of medical studies showing how well it works for infections, wound infections, and things like that, and for coughs.
You just slather it on your wound? Is that what you do?
You just put it on your wound, yeah. It has about three types of ways that it helps. It dehydrates bacteria. When it combines with your fluids in your system, it creates a little peroxide type locally there on that wound, and that kills the bacteria. And then there's some other antibacterial properties that people are just now trying to figure out what exactly they are. But it has to be raw honey. There are some honeys that are better than others. You could get your local honey, or you could get Medi honey, M-E-D-I honey, or you could get Manuka honey, M-A-N-U-K-A. And it's a New Zealand type honey. It has a lot of studies on that showing how.
But you're going to have to search around for that. I gather that's not at your big name grocery store, huh?
You know, it might be. I certainly think it'd be your health food store.
And they have plenty of those around. All right, so this is the time of year when people start sniffing and sneezing, seasonal allergy time. And other than medicines, is there anything else you can do with the stuff that you have at home?
Sure. Well, the first thing about medicines, if you're going to take anything, and including that at home, start it early. Don't wait until those infections and those allergies get a hold of you really bad, because then whatever you take is going to be behind the eight ball, so to speak. So start early. Anything you take, you're still going to have bad allergy days when there's a lot of pollens out and you're not going to be able to stroll through the ragweed if you're allergic to ragweed and not suffer, even if you have the best of allergy treatment. At least that's been my experience. So on bad allergy days, stay in as much as you can. Also, try to use a dust mask or something like that would help. If you don't like that, if you don't like the style of that, put a scarf around your face and nose. That'll work pretty well, too.
There's a fashion vacuum out there. Somebody needs to come up with a stylish face mask.
Just don't go to the bank with it.
Yeah, exactly.
Stay out of the bank.
So right, Jen.
Just saying.
I'm in Japan all the time. So, I bet they could find – that's a great idea.
All right. So what's your favorite non-medicine treatment? To get the sinuses all washed out.
Okay, people tune out right when I say this, but nasal irrigation is great. It helps so many people, and I tell people, and if they've tried it, they say, "Wow, yeah, I know it helps a lot."
Wait, what are we doing to the neti pot? I know he's talking about the neti pot, and let me just tell you, I don't really know how to do it. But the one time I tried, I think I kind of waterboarded myself. It was not a good thing, and I don't get it. I don't understand it.
I have one of those too.
Wait, what do you do with this? I'm not understanding.
Let the doctor explain it.
Go ahead.
It can be torture. You're right. You got to know how to use it.
On
my website, I have some ways to use it. You can use a cup and of sterile water and a little salt in the shower and sniff it up, but neti pots end up being pretty easy to use if you know how to use them. They just drain in one nostril and out the other, and
if you're using
it right, it does not go down the windpipe or anything.
Yeah.
No,
I even watched a YouTube video and I didn't get it.
Would you have allergy troubles?
Yeah, well, I did, but now I'm fine. I don't need it.
Right. You must
no neti pot for me. No problem.
Maybe it's a one-time only.
Stop complaining.
So is this the kind of thing you have to use consistently throughout allergy season?
You do. It's kind of just to wash out the pollens that get in your nose and things, and you use it. You have to use sterile water these days because there is this thing that has killed a couple of people that's called a brain-eating amoeba that's in tap water occasionally, rarely. It's killed a handful of people. Sterile water, you wouldn't have to worry about that. So use the sterile water, a little bit of salt, get you a commercial solution, something like that, and go to town and at least give it a try. If you don't like it, then fine. I mean, some people don't.
All right,
a lot of people swear by
it. No, thank you.
Let's move on.
Here you go, Jay. I just found a picture of a pretty woman neti potting.
Yeah.
No, that is not real.
Like this.
This is not real.
But I'm trying to inspire you to be healthy.
Oh, my, no.
You can't unsee that. Either.
No, you can't. All right. So some of the other things that you have at home, are there some beneficial juices at home in your fridge maybe?
Well, juices are always good, any fresh juice and that sort of thing. This time of year, I mean, I think you live out in California, so maybe it's not, but in a lot of areas, it's finally getting pretty outside. People are getting out, and they are, and I'm sure you have weekend warriors there anyway that go out and do so much that their muscles ache so much the next day they can't hardly walk. Well, cherry juice can help that. Now, just like everything else, there are problems. I'd start slow on the cherry juice because it has some laxative effects and something.
Oh.
But there's been studies showing that people, like in marathoners, if they'll start drinking some cherry juice, and they usually have a combination of cherry juice and apple juice, a kind of commercial type brand, and they'll drink about 12 ounces twice a day for about 3 days before their big race or whatever, they find that they have significantly less muscle aches after that.
Great to know. And we're going to send people to your website, Dr. Hubbard. It's thesurvivaldoctor.com. And we only scratched the surface there, so go take a look. Hey, we love your comments at feedback@philhewlettandfriends.com. Thanks to our producer, Mike Stark. Our theme song, you're listening to it, is composed and performed by Russ Monson. For Jennifer Bjorklund, Jay Campidonia, Chris Martin, I'm Phil Hewlett. We'll talk to you tomorrow when we call it As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553.